Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we get started, the podcast award voting continues. Please vote for the program at podcastawards.com, and you can do that every day. Vote for us at podcastawards.com. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Michael Shane. The title of today's episode, A Problem in Murder.
The first flash of lightning lit her up in a blinding silver light. The rain had plastered her dress tight to her big body. The gun was in her hand. It didn't waver an inch. It was only a matter of seconds until the lightning struck again. Only this time, it'd be man-made lightning from the muzzle of a .38.
The New Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. Michael Shane, reckless, red-headed Irishman, is back again in his old haunts in New Orleans. This is your director, Bill Russo, inviting you to listen to another transcribed episode, which we call A Problem in Murder.
Hello, Shane. It's nice to know that when homicide calls, you come right down.
Why, sure, Inspector. Don't I always oblige?
Sit down.
Thanks.
You're working?
Sort of.
For who?
A guy with the unlikely name of Lemuel Barrington.
You like Shane as a name?
You like Lefevre?
What kind of a job?
All I know is what he told me in my office. He wants me to meet him at 5 this afternoon at a house he just rented out on Chef Highway. He's from out of town.
You're not working for anybody else?
No.
You know a fellow by the name of Frank Carter?
Mm-mm.
You sure?
Hey, you look like the original cat with a canary in his mouth. What's the pitch, Inspector, or aren't I old enough?
Let's take a walk, Shane.
Okay.
After you.
Thank you, sir. Who's Frank Carter?
A stiff.
Yeah, that's what I figured, in as much as we're on our way downstairs.
We're a pretty nice gang down here to headquarters, don't you think, Shane?
Oh, princes.
We go out of our way to be polite. We don't mess people up. We even treat some private detectives real nice. We cooperate.
And sometimes you get some cases solved for you that way.
Now along comes a thing, and we gotta go to work. You know, when somebody gets himself killed, then we gotta find out who did the killing. It's our job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this thing now, we like to feel that the people we cooperate with us.
I can go along with the cooperation, Inspector.
Sure. Sure, Shane. I knew you would. Right under that sheet. That's Frank Carter.
Yeah. It's not very pretty.
Nobody's pretty when they stop a .38 slug with their head.
Still dressed and everything. You want to know if I ever saw him before, hmm?
Well, now, you see, it's easy when you know what we want.
I never saw him before.
Now, Shane.
A very dull type. Where'd you find him?
In an alley down by the waterfront.
Well, then what are those grass stains doing on the knees of his trousers?
It's raining outside.
I get it. He walks on his knees, huh?
Could have slipped.
Oh, it looks more like he was doing something on his knees, Inspector. Those aren't skid marks. The grass stains are rubbed right into the cloth.
Mm-hmm. It's the face I want you to remember.
Uh-uh. No can do.
Try.
Not a glimmer.
Harder.
All right. You've been playing 20 questions with me since I came in. I give up. What's the answer?
Stick your hand in his coat pocket.
Oh, no. Go on, Inspector. You pull out the surprise.
All right. Take a look.
Yeah. Michael Shane, private detective. I know it was a good idea to have those cards printed. It's good advertising.
Yeah, well, you might have advertised yourself right out of business, Shane. It's funny how a guy you never saw in your life turns up dead with your card in his pocket.
In just a moment, we'll return to the new adventures of Michael Shane and a problem in murder.
The day started out wet and promised to get a good deal wetter. New Orleans rain has a habit of overdoing things. A character from out of town, Lemuel Barrington, stepped into my office to make a date for me to meet him later in the day. And then I got a phone call from Inspector Lefevre at Homicide. He wanted a date too, but right away. So I swam over to police headquarters and he took me downstairs to the morgue for a look at a stiff named Frank Carter with a .38 slug in his head. The inspector thought I ought to know the dead man because he happened to have one of my business cards in his pocket. I didn't, so he let me leave for my appointment at Barrington's house way out on Chef Highway. The water had reached hubcap level by the time I got there. It was a lonely spot, lonely and soaked. I splashed my way across the road, dashed under the portico. It was pretty dark, and there weren't any lights on in the house. I pushed the button. I never did like rain. It's swell for farmers and crops and irrigation, but like I always said, why does it have to rain on the sidewalk? Maybe he wasn't home yet. Well, at least it was dry under the portico, and he should be along soon. Oh. Why don't you turn on the lights, Mr. Barrington? Oh! I felt like the back of my neck had been smacked with a sledgehammer, and I'd never be able to straighten it again. I opened my eyes and saw I was nose to nose with a figured pattern on the rug.
For a big boy, you do a slow dive.
Maybe it was my position, but she sure looked big. Big and massive, but beautifully proportioned. Sort of Lana Turner, king size.
Don't you know better than walking in without an invitation?
You mind if I get up? After all, there's a lady in the room.
Sure. I'll give you a hand.
Thanks. Oh, easy. My neck. It's a pretty fair rabbit punch.
I learned it from my kid brother.
Oh? Is he as big as you?
I'm not so big.
You'll do until another 170 pounder comes along.
No fat.
I should say not.
You bet there's no fat.
Oh, I'll muscle. Who are you?
I was just going to ask you that.
I'm Mike Shane.
I'm Diana.
Good. Well, let's start our friendship all over again in a different kind of spirit.
You haven't got a gun, Mike.
Do I need one?
I have. What do you want here?
I got an invitation from Mr. Barrington. I thought this was his house.
I'm looking for him myself. Now, if you'll just beat it...
Stop waving that gun.
Some other time, Redhead, I might have a different idea about you, but right now I'm busy.
Oh, I bet you'd tell that to all the boys, you slug.
All right, let's cut the lovemaking. I'll see you sometime.
You're going to send me out into the rain, Diana?
That's the way you came, isn't it?
Yeah, but I didn't have a stiff neck then. How about massaging it for me? Huh?
I told you some other time, Mike.
Okay. I sure wish I'd brought my life raft.
You know, you're kind of cute. I'll look you up.
Give me a ring first, Diana. I might have another date. No, I won't late date anybody. I splashed back to my car, drove it up the road about 20 yards, and hid it behind a large and stately oak, just in case she was watching. Then I got out and doubled back toward the house. About 6 feet to the right of the front door was a porch swing. This one had a canvas top to keep off the sun, but it was just fine to keep off the rain, too. I crawled in and waited. Barrington was due pretty soon. I wanted to see what Diana was up to. It was cozy on the swing, stretched out. I was working on my third cigarette when a coupe breaststroked up the road and stopped in front of the house. A man got out, but it wasn't my client Barrington. Now, this guy was small with a thin face. He rang the doorbell and waited. Then rang it again and waited. And pretty soon the door yawned open and he stepped inside. The last I saw of him, he was staggering under a rabbit punch. I began laughing inside. Within 3 minutes, the door opened and the little guy came out. He staggered to his car, and as he raced away, he splashed water all over a squad car coming toward the house. Inspector Lefevre and Sergeant Dykes got out and made the run for the portico. I poked my head out from under the cover of the swing.
Bring it, Dykes.
It must be pretty important to bring you out in this rain, Inspector.
Oh, Shane. Leave it to you to find a place to lie down. What are you doing out here?
Waiting for my appointment with Barrington.
Yeah? Anybody in?
You'll find out. I'll stand by here.
What are you grinning about?
Am I grinning?
Yeah. Open it, Dykes. Maybe nobody's home.
Well, just walk right in. You're kind of dark there. Go on. Go right in.
I don't know what you're expecting, Shane. Dykes, try upstairs.
I'm disappointed. I thought... Oh, what happened in here?
Well, obviously somebody was looking for something.
Not very neat about it. Must have happened in the last 20 minutes.
Oh?
What are you doing here, Inspector?
I'm working on a case, remember? Frank Carter.
Oh.
And I'm real glad to see you here, Shane.
You mean there's a connection?
A guy by the name of Lemuel Barrington and this Frank Carter had some business together.
Not really.
And Lemuel Barrington's your client. And this is Barrington's house. Now tell me what you know, huh?
Well, you know I don't hold things back from the police.
Yeah, sure. What are you doing here?
Well, this is where I'm supposed to meet Lemuel.
He hasn't showed?
Nope. Well, you still haven't told me what's going on.
Well, according to some papers we found in Carter's place, his deal with your client involved 50 grand in cash.
Ooh, could be that's why this place is turned inside out.
Who did it?
Diana, probably.
Diana who?
She didn't say.
Who is she?
She didn't say that either.
Maybe she was in that car that passes when we came up.
No, that was somebody else.
How do you know?
I've been watching from the swing.
Oh.
If you really want to know what's happening to Diana...
Yeah?
Listen.
Hey, that's my squad car.
With Diana at the wheel.
Now look, Shane, this is the last rotten trick you'll play in the department. I'll lift your license, and I'll see you never work in this town again. One more thing, Shane.
What's that?
As far as this case is concerned, I figure you ended up your eyeballs. Now you can drive us down to headquarters.
In just a moment, we'll return to the new adventures of Michael Shane and a problem in murder.
Well, I went down to headquarters for the second time. But Inspector Lefevre didn't have anything on me but a suspicion I knew more than I told him. Frank Carter had wound up in the morgue with grass stains on his trousers and my business card in his pocket. I'd never seen him before, but Lemuel Barrington, a client of mine, seemed to be mixed up in the Frank Carter thing. I'd gone out to Barrington's rented house on Chef Highway, but he didn't show up. An Amazon named Diana was there. After clipping me and another guy, she methodically tore the place apart, looking for $50,000. Since she'd made off with the inspector's car, I obliged him by driving down to headquarters, being very careful not to embarrass him more than I thought he could take. Then I went back to my office to pick up my phone messages. I found my client Barrington there, waiting for me.
Mr. Shane.
Oh, too wet for you out on Chef Highway, eh, Mr. Barrington?
I couldn't go back to the house.
But you could send me there.
Now listen to me, Mr. Shane. I am a law-abiding citizen. I came to New Orleans to conclude a business transaction...
With Frank Carter?
Yes, yes. I brought $50,000 with me, intending to invest it in a company to be formed. But I found out that the intentions of Mr. Carter were not the purest.
So you killed him?
Killed him?
He's dead.
Oh, Mr. Shane, you're joking.
The stiff in the police morgue is no joke, Barrington.
But you see? You see, they're desperate. My feelings were right.
Yeah. What feelings?
All they want is my money.
Who's they?
That woman, Diana, and Carter, and Caesar.
Caesar? A little guy, thin?
Oh, an obnoxious person. Mr. Shane, they intended to fleece me out of my money.
You think Carter was killed by Diana or Caesar so they wouldn't have to split the money with him?
I don't know. They don't have the money. I do. It's mine.
Well, where is it?
That's why I came here to your office instead of going to the house.
What's why? Now, wait. You're going a little too fast. Slow down.
The money is at my house. I'm afraid to go there.
Oh, that's my job, huh?
Well, I'm paying you for it.
Well, how do you know it's still there? Diana turned the place upside down.
I don't think she found it.
Where is it?
In the refrigerator, on the freezer shelf.
Frozen assets, huh?
I don't find $50,000 a humorous subject. Now, your job is to get it and bring it to me.
Okay, Barrington, make yourself comfortable. And by the way...
Yes?
You better keep the door locked. The wrong person might knock. I drove out Gentilly Boulevard and onto Chef Highway, the water 4 inches deep and rising steadily. It was a good day to curl up with a book, if you happen to be literary-minded. When I swung off the highway and started toward the house, I almost missed seeing the car parked in the exact spot I'd hidden a few hours before. It was a little character's car, Caesar, but he wasn't in it. I pulled up in front of the house and dashed under the portico. I rang the bell. No answer. I splashed around to the back. The kitchen door was locked, and I was already soaked to the skin. The third window I tried groaned a little, but slowly it went up, and I went in. It was dark, and the rain was blowing in. I shut the window and looked around. I was in the dining room. I started toward the hall, but suddenly I felt something cold and hard nestle up against my 14th vertebra.
1 second, bud.
That gun, move it a little to the left, will you? I got an itch.
Yeah, very funny. Come on, into the living room.
Where's Diana?
You talk too much. Okay, it's far enough. You noticed the condition of the room?
I saw it before.
Diana was looking for something. Maybe she didn't find it. Maybe I'll find it.
Maybe.
Maybe you'll help me.
I wouldn't bet on it.
I would. What are you doing here?
I'm waiting for Lemuel Barrington.
Yes, so am I. But in the meantime, I might find what I'm looking for before he comes.
What?
Never mind. What are you waiting for Barrington for?
I don't know.
I asked a question.
Stop waving the gun.
I asked a question, bud.
Where's Diana?
How do you know her?
I fell for her right after she clipped me behind the ear.
Yeah. You're here after that doe.
I told you why I'm here.
Barrington sent you over for it.
Maybe Frank Carter sent me.
Come again.
I said maybe Frank Carter sent me.
Yeah, I guess you know too much, bud.
No, I don't know enough.
I wouldn't send anybody out into that rain, bud.
That's real neighborly.
The same time, I don't want you around.
Then you got a problem.
Yeah, but it's easy to figure out. What do you think?
That's what you ought to do more of, Caesar. Think.
Where did you
drop the gun, Caesar?
Now look, Diana, this guy walked in.
I said drop it.
Okay.
Mike. Don't bend down. You might get a permanent crick in your back.
I was just going to let the water out of my neck.
Yeah. Trying to cut me out, huh, Caesar?
Ain't that what you tried to do to me before?
My privilege, I'm bigger than you. Beat it.
Oh, into that rain again? Let me stick around a while, Diane. Maybe the rain will let up.
Can't you see we want to be alone,
you
Caesar?
Shut up, you.
I'm getting tired waiting, Caesar.
Okay. Okay.
See, Mike? He's a good boy. He's learned a good lesson one time or another.
You didn't find the 50 grand yet.
You know about that?
I'm working for Barrington, remember? And Inspector Lefevre's going to hate you for borrowing his squad car.
I'm more interested in the money.
Barrington's money.
He welched on a business deal.
With Frank Carter and you and Caesar.
Yeah.
But Carter's dead.
That's a shame.
Why was he killed, Diana?
I don't know.
Oh, it doesn't make sense. Frank Carter didn't have the money. Why was he killed?
You got me.
Maybe you killed him.
Maybe.
Maybe Caesar killed him.
Maybe.
How about Lemuel Barrington?
Yeah, maybe he did, too, but I don't think it matters much what you think, Shane. Too bad, too. You've got such nice shoulders. Now let's get down to business.
Before we do, just one thing, Diana.
Sure. What?
The grass stains on Frank Carter's trousers. Any idea how they got there?
No idea. Let's get back to the money.
I haven't got it.
But you know where it is. I figure you were sent here to bring it to Barrington.
You figure wrong.
I don't think so.
Nice perfume. I never made love to a girl before while she held a gun on.
Mike, the dough. Where's the dough?
All right, Diana. But let's talk this over. Hey, you're straining my chivalry.
The dough, Mike. I can use this gun another way, too. Don't force me. Now, where's the money?
It's in the kitchen.
Then let's go see. You understand I don't have any grudge against you, Mike. It's just the money I want. Under different circumstances, I think we could make beautiful music together.
Well, right now, we don't even seem to be playing in the same key.
Maybe you just have a bad ear for music. Okay, where is it?
In the refrigerator.
Why didn't I look there? I don't see it.
Under the cold cuts on the freezer shelf.
Oh.
She let out a yell when I slammed the door shut on her head, and she dropped the sheaf of bills. I grabbed the money, made a dash for the front door, and heard her start after me. I started around the side of the house, heading for the trees about 50 yards of water away. But behind me, the front door burst open and... Well, that was too close. I doubled around and started toward the back of the house. It was tough going through all that water. A streak of lightning lit up the whole backyard, and I caught a glimpse of her not 20 feet behind. It was black again, and I turned to start around the house, and something hit me in the shins. I spread-eagled in a foot of muddy water. Another flash of lightning hit. She was almost up to me now. The rain had plastered her dress tight against her body. The gun was in her hand. It didn't waver an inch. It was only a matter of seconds until the lightning struck again. Only this time, it'd be man-made lightning from the muzzle of a Colt 38.
In a moment, we'll be back with a thrilling climax to tonight's Michael Shane adventure.
I started to get to my knees and felt, more than heard, her sloshing toward me. A foot caught me in the ribs and I went under again. She must have tripped too because she landed right beside me.
Mike.
I caught her right arm and twisted it just a little. I felt the fingers of her hand relax around the gun. I felt better. I sat up in the water and looked at her. She was a real mess, but so was I. I wondered how she looked in dry clothes and without a gun. Then she started to laugh. And it was funny. I had the 50 grand in one hand and the gun in the other. The rain was coming down in sheets. We were sitting in a foot of water looking at each other. And Diana was laughing. I guess maybe the laughing jag did it. There'd been a few ideas swinging around my head all along, but I'd been too busy dodging raindrops and Diana's rabbit punches to give them much time. The only possible solution to the whole mess took shape in my mind as I watched Diana standing in front of a mirror in Barrington's living room, brushing her hair dry. She looked real cute, all of her, in a loud pair of Barrington's pajamas and his robe. I'd changed to a smart Glen plaid suit I'd found. It was good to be dry for a change. The telephone operator got me through to police headquarters, and I asked for Inspector Lefevre.
Lefevre?
Mike Shane, Inspector.
What do you want?
I want to give you Frank Carter's murderer.
Thanks.
Well, you want me to forget it?
I'm listening. Go ahead, Sherlock. Who killed Frank Carter?
Frank Carter?
Very funny, you and your sense of humor.
I'm not kidding. If you want to pick him up, send a couple of men down to my office. They'll have to bust the door down to get in, but I'm sure the police department will make restitution.
You better be sure you know what you're talking about.
Never surer. You pick up Carter, and I'll be down to headquarters a little later with the details.
What do you mean, Carter? Who's down in the morgue?
That's Barrington. The real Carter is waiting at my office. Do I have to draw a blueprint?
You sure this theory of yours holds water, Shane?
What doesn't today, Inspector? So long.
Hey, wait a minute. How about that girl who stole my squad car?
The squad car? Well, I'll be working on that, Inspector.
What's he beefing about, Mike? I left it on Lafayette around the corner from the city hall.
Oh, maybe he doesn't like the idea of it, Diana.
You figured it out all pretty cute.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with me?
Well, now that you're demobilized, I think I can handle you.
Mike, how did you figure Carter killed Barrington and changed clothes with him?
Well, first of all, he shot Barrington through the head so there'd be no bullet holes in the clothes. He probably did it right here in the backyard of the house.
But why?
Well, the wet grass stains on the knees of the trousers on the dead man. They make sense if you figure Carter had to kneel in the grass beside the real Barrington to take his clothes off after he shot him. Then he drove Barrington's body over to the docks to get as far from this place as possible. Only there's not much grass growing on the docks.
Real sharp, Mike.
And the card I gave Carter when he was posing as Barrington in my office. Tripped himself up when he forgot and left my card in his pocket when he switched the rest of the identification.
Then Barrington must have told Carter the money was hidden in the icebox before Carter killed him.
Logical.
That rat. Trying to pull a double cross.
Just like you tried to do to Cecil.
But after all, I'm a woman.
Yeah, I haven't forgotten that.
Well, what now?
Wouldn't you like to try to talk me out of turning you in for stealing the inspector's car?
Can I?
I doubt it. Why don't you try anyway? I bet you can be real persuasive.
Barrington's 50 grand went to his family in his hometown. That is, 50 grand minus my fee. I eventually got my clothes dried out, but the back of my neck will never be the same. Inspector Lefevre agreed there were extenuating circumstances. The rain in Diana's borrowing his squad car. He was, in his way, grateful for me handing over the murderer complete with details. He'd neglected to report the car stolen anyway. He was a little embarrassed about it. And maybe that crick in my neck will serve a good purpose. I've got a date with Diana. She's going to see if she can't make it feel better.
This is your director, Bill Russo, again. Our story was based on characters created by Brett Halliday and was written by Lester and Gerard. The music is composed and conducted by John Duffy, and Michael Shane is portrayed by Jeff Chandler. The New Adventures of Michael Shane is a Don W. Sharp production, transcribed in Hollywood and distributed exclusively by the Broadcasters Guild. Next week, you'll hear Michael Shane in another thrilling adventure from mysterious and colorful New Orleans.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. Well, Lefevre was relatively understanding about the stolen police car thing. Extenuating circumstances because of the rain. And of course, the idea that somebody having your business card in their pocket is grounds for you being suspended. You know, you wonder if he says, all right, well, now I'm going to have to go and question that dry cleaner. All right. Well, at any rate, we do turn to listener comments and feedback, and did receive some feedback regarding listeners who had taken issue with the radical difference between this show and the prior version of Michael Shane. And this comes from Jack on Facebook, who writes, Adam, some listeners commented how much the format had changed from the Wally Mirror series to the Jeff Chandler one. That is why I appreciate that you are running the Richard Denning videos. These are more true to the Halliday books from right down to Michael's preference for cognac. Thanks so much, Jack. And I think that there is probably a lot that's closer, particularly when it comes down to one great example is The City. In the Wally Bear series, Michael Shane set in San Francisco. In this series, set in New Orleans. TV series does have him set in Miami. Though actually, some of the Michael Shane books from the era around the time the TV show was airing actually referenced the TV show and characters commenting on it and essentially implying that it was not like the books, but perhaps just not as like the books as they would prefer would be a more apt, description. Well, thanks so much for that, Jack. And that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow and we'll bring you an episode of The Avenger. And then on Wednesday, we introduce Richard Diamond. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.